I want to talk about something that every believer struggles with. It's called waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. Hallelujah. Waiting on the Lord. It's a difficult thing. You know, because we want what we want. When we want it, how we want it, and where we want it. And Daddy said, you're going to do it my way, the highway. You know. You're going to do it my way, or you're going to have struggles. You got to understand something. If you really have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, amen, that means that it's no longer your life, but His that runs your life. It's not about a bondage. It's about a relationship. See, the one thing that we have a trouble with is that we want God to do it our way. And He says, if you'll do it my way, it's a lot more prosperous, even though you might not see it now. You know, because we are so bound up into the position where we want to see, we want to hear, and we want to know now. But the Lord says we've got to wait on Him. And there is a waiting period, and there's a time to wait, and there's a time to go. But, you know, our life as a believer is always waiting on God. You'll find out that after you've waited on Him for something specifically, by the time that comes to pass, you're already waiting on something else. So in the kingdom, the Lord allows this so that we're always looking towards Him. So you'll be waiting on something until you hit the throne room. Does everybody get it? Now, let me explain something. The word wait is a representation of expectation. When you're waiting, you're expecting, aren't you? It's expectation that the Lord will intervene on a believer's behalf. So that means that you and I must be in a state of readiness. We must be in a state of readiness during this waiting time. Now, there are three types of waiting. And, you know, I'm not going to go real in depth with everything because it's, I mean, we could be here for a while. But I'm going to touch some surface things where we need to get an understanding on. One of the types of waiting is what we just talked about as expectation. The second type of waiting is called servanthood. You know what a waiter does?
Serves.
Amen. He waits on tables. He serves. And the third type of waiting I'm going to call divine delay. That's when God stops something that's going on. Sometimes He'll even stop something that you've been waiting on, and you go, Lord, why did you stop? Amen. And you must understand something in the waiting period. God is dealing with obedient and disobedient children. Amen? He's dealing with obedient and disobedient. Now, He never forces you to do something. Never forces us. But it sure be a lot easier if we're willing to do whatever it takes all the time. So we have three types of waiting: expectation, servanthood, and divine delay. Now, I share with you that expectation was the representation of waiting, and that we are all expecting something. All of our waiting is a representation of expectation, isn't it? We're all waiting for God's intervention to do something on our behalf or on somebody else's behalf that we're interceding for. But in true reality, it's on our behalf, isn't it? Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Hallelujah. Second Timothy chapter 4. Hallelujah. So So we must be in a state of readiness. Amen. Readiness. In verse 1, let's read 1 through 5 together, okay? Is everybody there? Hallelujah. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. So we got to be ready. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Nobody said that waiting on God was going to be simple. There was a long suffering involved in it. Amen. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Listen to this. In verse 5, but you be what? Watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the working of evangelists. And fulfill your ministry. Wow. So we must be ready in season and out. We must be in a state of readiness. Let me share something with you. When you're not waiting on God, it leads to straying away to false expectations. When you refuse to wait on God, okay, what happens is you get led away or you get led astray on false expectations. Does everybody get that? And that's what he was talking about right here. Even though he's talking to Timothy about being ready in season and out to preach the word of God. Well, you and I got to be ready in season and out and be watchful, because if you and I are not waiting on the Lord and the leading of the Lord, we'll be led astray by false expectations, dictates of our own heart. And that's what God does in separation during waiting. Separates your dictations and puts His dictations in there. Does everybody get it? Let me share with you 7 results of waiting. When you and I are waiting on the Lord, it brings, one of the first things that it brings is an escape from the snare of the enemy. It's one of the first things God has me and you wait on Him, is because He's making a way of escape from the snare of our enemy. Does everybody get it? So many times we think, well, Lord, You're just not doing this. You're not doing... He's making a way of an escape from the snare of your enemy. That's why sometimes, even though you've waited on something and it comes to pass and it's not being fully fulfilled, He'll stop it because He sees that the enemy is getting ready to do something. And you're going, well, Lord, and then we begin to push it instead of wait on Him. And then we fall into the trap. That happens in jobs, in relationships, in finances, and everything else. So remember, the devil pushes and the Spirit leads. Okay? The devil pushes and the Spirit leads. So if you're spending all your time trying to build something, you're being pushed. So many people spend a gazillion hours a week at work trying to build something. It's because they're missing God. And they're supposed to be waiting on the Lord to build it. Does everybody get it? So 7 results of waiting. The first thing is the waiting on the Lord brings an escape from the snare of the enemy. The second thing is it does is brings death to yourself. Hallelujah. Because He can't use a live man, He's got to use a dead man. Yeah, but I want, I need, I. What He's doing is removing I from out of your life and waiting on the Lord. The third thing it does is bring preparation. for what he's about to do. So if you're not waiting on the Lord, you will never be prepared for what he has about set for you that's coming ahead. Does everybody get it? So it brings preparation for you. In other words, during this waiting period of time, there's training involved. And that's what the preparation is. You know, we can't always go on, well, all things work to the good to those who love the Lord. That's an excuse escape, scripture. Well, all things, the reason why we got to use that scripture is because we miss God. Well, I miss God. Well, all things work to the good to those who are waiting on the Lord. Glory to God. To those who love the Lord. Hallelujah. So we see it brings the escape from the snare of the enemy, it brings death to self, and it brings preparation. Because during this preparation time, there is training involved. Okay? There's training involved. So that he's preparing you for the next level. If you do not fulfill the preparation of the training, you will not go to the next level. That's why people backslide. Instead of going toward upward, they go backwards. Amen?
Could you repeat that, why people backslide?
Because not in waiting on the Lord, okay, it's preparation. It's preparation for the next level. So this is why they backslide instead of advance, because they're not willing to be prepared for the next level. And you know, the Lord says if you're faithful with a little, he'll give you what?
More.
But if you're not, even what you have is taken away. Hallelujah. The fourth thing that happens in waiting is bringing positioning. Waiting on the Lord brings position. Where is he positioning you? In the Spirit. Hallelujah. And he's also positioning you in a bigger plan that you and I do not understand. Does everybody get it? In other words, he's positioning you. You know, when the Lord said to me a while ago, he says, when I start pouring out my Spirit here, do not move. You know what he said to me? Every time I start pouring out my Spirit, people move. They move, and I have to reposition. Does everybody get it?
Amen.
So what happens when he starts pouring out his blessing or something starts to happen, people pick it up and try to do something else. And they're not waiting on the Lord for direction. And he said, don't move. I did not understand in one little house that we had here and next door what he was going to do. But he had a plan. More than what I could imagine. Amen. And what he's also doing is, like I shared with you before, is he's dealing with obedient and disobedient children. And so the ones that were obedient at one time and chose to be disobedient, he's got to find someone else now to position them there so that they can be obedient and fulfill. That's why sometimes you're in a divine delay that God had to stop and wait for someone else to come about to complete what he's trying to do. Amen? Because we all have a specific function in the body of Christ. So sometimes God has been waiting on me and you, hasn't he?
Amen.
To go through the waiting period in preparation of death and positioning so that we can fulfill the next position or bring a unity and a connection in the body of Christ to expand the kingdom. Okay? Well, that's the fifth thing. Waiting on the Lord expand. There was four.
Yes, positioning.
Positioning. Yeah, number five, expanding the kingdom. That's what waiting on the Lord does. Expanding the kingdom. Hallelujah. And isn't that our purpose?
Amen.
Jesus came into the earth and said, behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. So our main purpose and our main goal is to expand the kingdom of God on this earth, isn't it? If your purpose is other than that, you're in trouble. Hello? If your purpose is not to expand the kingdom of God, you're in trouble. And you'll wait in the waiting room of God until you are positioned, until you are prepared. And if you move out of the waiting room, you move into the hands of the devil. In God's waiting room. And the sixth thing is, waiting on the Lord brings glory to the Lord, doesn't it? And He wants all the glory. Hallelujah. And the seventh thing is it brings fellowship with Him. And that's what He wants, doesn't He? He wants fellowship with Him. Hallelujah. Okay, let me repeat these. Seven results of waiting on the Lord. Brings escape from the snare of the enemy. Number one. Brings death to self. Number two. Brings preparation, number three. Brings positioning, number four. Expands the kingdom of God, number five. Number six, brings glory to the Lord. And number seven, brings fellowship with Him. Amen? See, sometimes we don't realize what waiting on the Lord does. One of the problems that we have, though, is to determine whether we are waiting on God or is God waiting on us. That's the problem that we have. Lord, am I waiting on You or are You waiting on me? Praise be to God. And that's what you and I must always discern. That's why it's so important about being in the Spirit. Are you waiting on God or is God waiting on you? Now you got to understand something. You don't need to be a, you know, rocket scientist to understand whether God is waiting on you or you are waiting on God. Remember I shared with you, you and I are always in a position of waiting on God, no matter what it is. And when one thing comes to pass, He's already got something else that you're waiting on. Why? Because you're expecting. Amen? You're in expectation. Always. There's always something that will happen for the rest of your life all the way until you hit the throne room of God. But you must have the discernment at some time and when to move and when not to move. Amen? One of the key factors is God never interrupts Himself. He never interrupts Himself. If He's put something there that you know is happening and you're to do, and you know He would not interrupt Himself. Does everybody get it? He would not move you off course. He would not put a stumbling block in your way. He would not add another agenda. Does everybody get it? Without fulfilling one. And these are keys that we need to understand about what God is doing. That's why it's so important about waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. Now, waiting on the Lord doesn't mean that you're home twiddling your thumbs. Oh, I'm waiting on God. And sleep the rest of your life away. That's not waiting on God. Waiting on God is ministering to the Lord and serving Him in the kingdom. While you're waiting and expecting what He has told you to be fulfilled. Does everybody get it? So you're ministering to Him, you're waiting on Him, you're ministering to Him and you're serving in the kingdom while He's preparing what He has for you or what He's already told you. So you're expecting, aren't you? And then when that comes to pass, He's already got something coming up that you're expecting again. Does everybody get it? Hallelujah. So we must have the discernment of whether God is waiting on us while we're waiting on Him. Sometimes, like I said, there is spiritual common sense. You don't go to a red light and when it turns green, pray and say, Lord, should I go? Hello? He is not going to answer you. And there are times in your walk when you're saying, Lord, do I do this? You know what he's saying? I am not answering you. You know better. You know better. And you're walking this one out. And sometimes God doesn't interfere with disputes between brothers. He says, you work it out. Well, Lord, what about... You work it out. Does everybody get it? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Remember, we're all wrong.
Amen.
He's the only one right.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll get back to some of this again. So we understand that God never interrupts himself, does he? Psalm 127. Glory to God. Don't fall out on us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Psalm 127. God's got a plan. Psalm 127 and verse 1. Let's all read verse 1. Glory to God. Ready?
Amen.
Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Would you repeat those again, please? Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Whoa. Unless the Lord builds the house. So that means we got to get our little paws off of it.
Amen.
But when he's already told you something to do, you're to be doing it.
Amen.
He is not going to continue to repeat himself. Do it. He says, you know better. I am building my house through you. Now die. Come on. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Oh, man. Unless the Lord what? Guards the city. Well, how is he going to guard the city? Through you. Through you. Why? You're to be the watchman.
Amen.
If you're watching something else, you're watching in vain.
Amen.
If your eyes are set somewhere else, you're in vain.
Amen.
Amen? It must be his will, not our will. Glory to God. Unless the Lord builds a house, we are either advancing the kingdom or being carried by the kingdom. Does everybody get it? We are either advancing the kingdom or being carried by the kingdom. And if you and I are not advancing the kingdom, we're a weight to the kingdom. Does everybody understand that? Because then the kingdom has to carry you. That's the difference of building the house in the Lord or building it in vain. We want to be kingdom builders. Not have to be carried by somebody else or the kingdom. We'd be a lot... Can you imagine if everybody was waiting on the Lord, truly waiting on the Lord, and in fellowship with the Lord, how much advanced the kingdom would be right now? Instead of me, I, and why? And how, and when, and where, and reason, and man, we'd be kicking butt already. The problem is, and it's like I shared before, if people would be responsible, because the Bible says we must all work out our own salvation, if they would be responsible and disciplined in the things that God has given us, we wouldn't have to have so much ministry in the house of God. We can do more out of the house of God and rescue more souls and expand the kingdom. The problem is the kingdom is being dragged down by those of disobedience. And daddy's bringing out the Holy Ghost whip, kicking over the tables in the temple. And he's saying, get in line and get in order, or get out of the way. Hallelujah. Time is too short to play games.
Amen.
Quit worrying about your future.
Amen.
Yeah, but I need to quit. Go, don't go ahead. Your future's already been established in Christ.
Amen.
And if you truly have that fellowship with the Lord, you know that what awaits you is excellent, far exceedingly glorious than what you and I are walking in here on this earth. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Philippians 4. Oh, to God be the glory. You know, like when you have a child in the car and you're going to going somewhere, you're going to the beach. You know, are we there yet? Are we there? When are we getting there? I'm hungry. I have to go to the bathroom. I forgot this. What are we gonna do when we get there? How long are we gonna stay? I mean, God bless them. Daddy has to deal with us in the same way. Sometimes we spend more time trying to figure it out, asking this, this, and that. We're wasting time. Time is of an essence for me and you. Does everybody get it? Time is of an essence. Remember we shared before about there are those who are still conformed to the world, there are those who are trying, and then there are those who are going to just do it. And we need to be just do it. Philippians chapter 4. Are we there yet? Aren't we at Wally World yet? Glory to God. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, I believe. No. Verse 6. Is everybody there? What does it say? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Now who brings anxiety?
The devil.
The devil. That's why he says be anxious for nothing. He comes and what? Pushes. I gotta do. The I gotta do spirit. But be anxious for nothing but in everything in prayer, which means communion, and supplication, which means your request. In other words, intercession. Does everybody get that? Intercession. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and what? Minds through Christ Jesus. See, waiting on the Lord is establishing something in you. It's called the mind of Christ. You know, Israel, the Jews were taken out of Egypt and put in the wilderness. You know what they were doing? Waiting on God. You know how long they stayed there? As long as they kept grumbling. Does everybody get it?
Amen.
You know why? They would not let Egypt come out of them.
Amen.
You know, God is dealing with us in purification. And he's saying, listen, you're still too conformed to the world. How are we still too conformed to the world? You still listen to secular music. You watch too much TV. You don't do enough fellowship. You have more fellowship with a football game than you do, you know what I'm saying? You have more fellowship with your work and your job than you do with me. You're still conformed to the world. And we'll sit in that waiting area until Egypt comes out of us. Until we stop grumbling and complaining and start surrendering. What happens is, and what we just read in Philippians 4 is, we do not want to go ahead of God, do we? Now, we don't want to get behind Him either. We want to be on time with God. Now, sometimes God is going to tell you something in the waiting period. It doesn't mean that you're to do it right then and there. He'll bring you confirmation. So many people get, oh yeah, the Lord told me this, boom, and they go do it. Well, man, I know God told me that. Well, maybe it wasn't God's timing. Because why? You're not waiting on Him. Just because He told you what to do, He didn't tell you how to do it yet, did He? Amen. And that's what you're waiting on. Does everybody get it? Or He hasn't put the other person or something, that circumstance in your path where you know, oh yeah, this is it. This is what I'm supposed to do. I know it. Yeah, thank you, Lord. And you know. So we don't want to be anxious for anything, but in prayer, which means communion, and supplication, which means intercession. And that the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds. Why? So you won't drift to those fables and the voice of the stranger. And you'll stay on key of what He's given you. You'll be hiding in the secret place of the Most High with Him during your waiting period. Amen? He will be your refuge and your high tower. And the one thing that brings unbalance in our life is when we go ahead of God or when we miss God and we're behind. But it's sure a lot smoother when you're walking. When we talked about, the Lord said that, come to me and learn from me because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We want to be yoked to the Lord in the Spirit because when you're walking together with Him, it goes smoothly, doesn't it? But if you're dragging, man, you get beat up. Oh, man, it hurts. Go to Acts 10. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm waiting on the Lord. You know, God is also doing this when you're waiting on the Lord. He's seeing if you really trust Him. Do you really trust me? And not only while you're waiting on the Lord, He's expanding your heart and ripping you of your old wineskin and putting a new one on. That's in preparation. He wants to see if you're going to continue to endure. He wants to see if you're going to answer your own prayer or you're going to let Him answer it. Glory to God. Oh, Lord, I've been waiting on that new car. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Then you go out and you find, oh, this must be God. Yes. It only put me in debt $600 a month and I only make $1,000 a month. What a blessing from the Lord. Oh, no, it isn't. You went way ahead of Him. And now you've been bound by money. Now you got to serve money instead of the Lord. Amen? Because the devil always wants to put you in debt. You know when you go in debt, you're out of sync with the Lord. Does everybody get it? You know when you lose your peace and your joy and your righteousness, you're out of sync with the Lord. Something's not right.
Amen.
You know that when worry comes and frustration and strife comes, you're out of sync with the Lord. In verse 38, read this with me. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with Him. Now check this out. Anointed with the Holy Spirit. He was yoked with the Spirit, wasn't He? He was in sync with the Spirit. Does everybody understand that? He was in harmony. He was walking. He wasn't ahead of him and he wasn't behind him. He was in sync with him. His fellowship with him was in timing, wasn't it? Good timing. Walking together. What did it bring? It brought power. Didn't it? It brought witness because he was doing good things, wasn't it? It brought glory to the Father, didn't it? It rescued souls, didn't it? It advanced the kingdom, didn't it? And this wasn't Jesus doing this? Do you understand? Right here in this scripture alone, it's so powerful. It lets you know the importance of waiting on God and walking in sync with Him because it brings power, it brings witness, it brings all the seven results of waiting on God. What does it bring? Escape from the snare of the devil, death to self, preparation, positioning, expands the kingdom, brings glory to the Lord, brings fellowship. And what are you doing? He used in this thing to rescue those bound by the devil. Does everybody understand that? It is so important that walking, waiting on the Lord, and walking in sync with Him, this is what's going to manifest in your life. Hallelujah. Now, the devil wants to disqualify you. How does he disqualify you? Pushes you out of position. He has you go ahead or behind. That's how he disqualifies you. He's always trying to disqualify you. Praise be to God. Psalm 40. I'm waiting. I'm waiting on the Lord. Glory to God. Is everybody there? Psalm 40? 1 through 3. Let's read verse 1 together. I waited patiently for the Lord. Wow. I waited what?
Patiently.
Patiently. Sounds like a fruit of the Spirit. And he inclined to me. So he waited patiently for the Lord and he got an answer. And heard my cry. I waited patiently for the Lord. In other words, I kept seeking the Lord. I didn't move. I didn't go try and fix this thing that he's put on my heart. I've been waiting on this one thing for God to tell me what to do, where to go, and how to do it, and so forth. I've been waiting on the Lord for this manifestation to come. I've been waiting on the Lord. In the meantime, I continued to minister to him and serve in the kingdom as I was waiting on the Lord. Amen. What was I doing? I was waiting patiently for it to come to pass. I wasn't trying to make it come to pass with my hands because I know it wouldn't stand. I was allowing God to bring it to pass. That's waiting on the Lord. And he inclined to me. He heard me. How would he know he heard him? Because it manifested. Hello? He says he heard my cry. Well, how would you know he heard your cry? It'd have to come to manifestation, wouldn't it? He also brought me out of a horrible pit. Out of the pit of death. Out of the what? Miry clay? And set my feet upon a what? Rock. And establish my steps. Why? Because I waited patiently on the Lord. He opened the door that was of him and shut the door that wasn't of him. And I didn't try and push the door open that wasn't of him. I waited on the Lord. In verse 3. He has put a new song in my mouth. Amen. You're praising God now. Amen. The manifestation came that you were waiting on. Mm-hmm. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear. Why? Because it was a witness to others what God just did. And will trust in the Lord. Wow. So that sounds like the seven results of waiting on the Lord again. What happened? His kingdom was expanded. He got the glory. He made a way of escape for you from the devil. He prepared you, positioned you. He had fellowship with you. You know, there's nothing greater than knowing that God answered a prayer to let you know that there is fellowship. Come on. Amen? All right. You know, because the devil's telling you the whole time, oh, he don't love you. Oh, he's gone. Man, you blew it now. You're so way out there, you'll never get caught up. Man, you miss God so many times. Amen. Let me tell you, it only takes one time to get on time, Amen. To get back everything.
Amen.
But stay there. Amen? Don't go ahead of him. Don't go behind him. Stay there, because it's smooth sailing. It doesn't mean that you're not going to go through trials and tribulations, because they're to establish you also. They're to perfect you. Yes. They're to prepare you also. Because that's God's waiting room. You must go through those things. But I'd rather go through those things instead of be caught in those things. Amen. Does everybody get it? And while you're waiting on the Lord, He'll bring you through it. It's like getting on a boat. Instead of getting us out of the boat and swimming with the boat, or swimming ahead of the boat or behind the boat, you're in the boat.
Hallelujah.
It's a lot easier. Doesn't mean you won't go through waves and you won't have storms, but you're going to go through them.
Amen.
Amen? Hallelujah. Psalm 27. Praise be to God. Psalm 27. God is good. I'm waiting on the Lord. In verse 11. Everybody there? Psalm 27 and verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in the smooth path because of my what?
Enemies.
Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had what?
Believed.
That I would see the goodness of the Lord. Why? You're an expectation in the land of the living. Well, you want to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know that when you leave this place, you're going to see the goodness of the Lord. But we want to see the goodness of the Lord right here on the earth. We want to be the witness of the power of God, of who He is, the example of the true Christ. And what does he say? Wait on the Lord, what? Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. How many times has the Lord given you that psalm? Wait on the Lord. You know, most of the time, I'll say, Lord, what can I do to please you today? You know what he'll say to me? Be of good courage and wait on me. I got it all in control. I mean, there isn't anything you want to tell me about what I'm supposed to do? No. Trust me. Hello?
Amen.
You're not going to always leave your prayer closet with a novel of blueprints. If you do, I want to be the first to know about it. Praise be to God. So we see that waiting brings strength, doesn't it, and encouragement. Hallelujah. Psalm 25. Hallelujah. Praise God. Psalm 25. 1 through 5. Is everybody there? Let's read it. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Oh my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. So he says, those who wait on the Lord will not be what? Ashamed. Ashamed, nor bring shame to the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalm 37. Like I said, most people backslide because they're not waiting on God. And then how many people come to you and say, well, God told me this, God told me that. And you know that they're being pushed. You know they're being pushed because there isn't that peace there. You'll get a witness in your spirit. We'll talk about that in a minute. Psalm 37, 3 through 9. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Let's read it. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Yes. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Wow. Praise you, Jesus. Go to verse 34 there. And that's Psalm. Wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. Whoa. You will see it. I see it all the time. I see those who won't wait in the Lord get taken out by wickedness, and then they participate with the wicked. Psalm 106. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Counsel, correction, and direction. Psalm 106. Everybody there? Verse 10 through 15. Psalm 106, 10 through 15. Let's read it together. He saved them from the hand of him who hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. The waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then they believed his words. They sang his praise. So they saw what when the parting of the Red Sea destroyed their enemy, right? Now that then they gave the Lord praise. All right, yeah, you're God, hallelujah, I believe you now. In verse 13, they soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel. Whoa, hello? They did not wait for his counsel. Well, I believe that God is telling me this. Well, did he tell you this? Well, I don't really know. Well, if you don't know, then don't do. If you don't know, don't do. Amen? Why? Because you're not waiting on the counsel of the Lord. Now, of course, the Bible says those who reject the counsel of the Lord, you're in trouble. So we need to get counsel from the Lord. Either in our prayer, through an office of counsel, whether it be pastor, teacher, whatever. You'll get confirmation somewhere through the Word. You'll get counsel through the Spirit. You must wait on counsel of the Lord. Why? Because you cannot walk in assumption. Assumption brings disaster. The Bible says faith comes by hearing. Hello? Not by assuming. That means you have hope and no faith. So, faith comes by hearing. Not assuming. Hope assumes. Faith knows and does. Whew. Glory to God. They soon forgot his works, and they did not wait for his counsel. And then look what happened. But lusted exceedingly in the what? Wilderness. And God, and tested God in the desert. And he gave them their request. Okay, you're not going to wait for my counsel? Here, go ahead and do it. Go ahead. You're going to reject my counsel? Here, go ahead and do it. And watch what happens. Shame the Lord and all the rest of the stuff. And he gave them the request, but sent lenience into their soul. Ooh. So, what happens then? They rebel. They rebel. Rebellion always comes from rejecting counsel of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Don't wait for counsel. God allows you to have what you want. And that ends up in trouble. Amen. Let's go to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Praise be to God. Glory to God. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 5. Can we read this together? For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Now, you ain't going to wait if you ain't in the Spirit. Does everybody get it? You will not be able to wait if you're not staying in the Spirit. So the devil's going to try and push you out of the Spirit so you can't wait. Because anxiety always comes in the natural. Anxiousness always comes in the natural. But if you're in the Spirit, you'll be able to wait. It's a part of that long suffering. I remember one day I got a ticket. And the officer said I was driving recklessly. Of course I wasn't. He was mistaken. So I said, Lord, you know what happened. And I went to court. And there must have been a gazillion people in that courtroom, I'm telling you. And, you know, they usually go in alphabetical order. Well, they, like, skipped my alphabet, you know. And I was there to, like, the third last person. And I said, Lord, is this a part of that long suffering? And he said, yes. He said, if you'll wait on me, I'll do it. He said, when you go up there, don't open your mouth. I went up there. The judge said, well, the officer's not here, I guess. I'm just going to send you, and you're going to plead not guilty.
Amen.
Same word. Amen. You know? And I left. But it's a part of that long suffering. That's how you see his hand move. Yes, we all want to expand the kingdom, but you got to let him expand the kingdom. He must build the kingdom, not us. Now, he'll build it through us. Yes. But we can't be anxious for nothing. And we can't lag behind. Hallelujah. So we must stay in the Spirit to be able to wait. Does everybody get it? Praise God. Let's go on a little further. Verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Wow. This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. Well, who'd it come from?
The devil.
The devil. Snagged you. That's what he wants to do. Waiting always brings the truth to manifestation. Truth always manifests in waiting. How many times have you known that something wasn't right with someone and you just knew it? You knew it. And you just waited. God shared with you to share with this person. They rejected the counsel and you waited. And then you saw the manifestation. And they came back. They said, oh, I should have listened. Now you got to reap what you sowed. We need to listen the first time around. John 5. Glory to God. John 5. Verse 1 through 9. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. Now they knew that an angel would come down and move the water. Well, how do they know? Because it's been going on for a while. So they knew they were waiting, and they were waiting. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. Now it didn't say that he was waiting there 38 years. Does everybody understand? It said he had the infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be healed or do you want to be well? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred. Who was he looking for? A man. He was waiting on the wrong thing. He was waiting on a man. Some of us are waiting on a man or a woman. You better be waiting on God. Some of us are waiting on all these things. Well, you got to be waiting on God. He'll bring it to pass. Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. Woe is me. Oh, woe is me. I just can't do this. Why? Eyes on man. And Jesus said to him, rise and take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, walked, and that day was the Sabbath. Whoa, blew all their theology. Some of us are waiting on the moving of the water. We're waiting on the moving of the water. We're waiting. But we need to be waiting on the Lord. The water is always moving. Does everybody get it? Don't be looking towards man. Don't be looking towards these other things. Be looking towards the Lord. It will come to pass. It will come right to you. Everything comes to you. Just like the paper that came to Robert today. Yeah. Amen? He wasn't looking for a man. Paper was lost. Went to go eat lunch. On the opposite side of the road, couldn't turn around. He had faith, not hope. Faith is what brought the paper back. because he wasn't waiting on a man to come and bring it to him. He was waiting on the Lord to manifest the truth of what was imparted in his heart, of what was going to happen. And what happened, it brought a witness to his boss and blew his socks off too. That God is real. Not that we don't know he's real, but the manifestation makes it he's so close. You know what I'm saying? Psalm 46. Glory to God. Psalm 46. Hallelujah. In verse 10, Psalm 46 and verse 10, let's read this together, please. Be still and know that I am God. Wow, that sounds like somebody who's waiting. Be still and know that I am God. Well, that's how you know he's God. So, you know what? Your strongest moments are when you're still. That's when you're strong in him, is when you're still. You're still from your works, you're still from everything. Why? Because he's trying to show you who he is. Be still and know that I am God. Know that I am God. Know that I am faithful to complete what I started. Know that all things are possible with me. Know it. That's faith. Hoping it is not faith. Knowing it is faith. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Why? Why you're still and knowing that he is God. He'll be exalted through what he does in you and for you. Amen? Glory to God. Now, go to 1 Thessalonians 5. You know, I see a lot of us dropping off a lot of these baggages we've been carrying. I see a lot of people going, okay, I got it, Lord. Okay, I'm dropping this right now. I'm waiting on you. Well, forgive me for trusting in me. Glory to God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Good. I know it's in my Bible. There we go. In verse 19. Let's read this together. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every evil form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Now, he says, test all things. There's nothing wrong with testing things. There's a difference between testing things and doing things. Does everybody get it? You test things. Let me share with you. You know, we were praying for the air conditioning units. The Lord gave Kimberly who, where, whatever to go. She came home the one day with the air conditioning unit. We needed two air conditioners. I had a man that came by that day and said, do you want to buy an air conditioner? He had won the same thing, same BTU. He won $120. My heart was to buy it to bless him because I believe he needed some finances. But the Lord said to me, wait. I said, all right. Wait. Do you want a new one or a used one? But my heart was still, well, Lord, I'd still like to bless this man, but he said, wait. So I said, okay. And then this morning I got up, and it was still on my heart, so I said, okay, test it. So I called, left a message for him to call me. And I let it go. I gave it to the Lord. That's it. Done and over with. Your will be done, Dad. Well, Kimberly came home today with another air conditioner. And I never heard from the man. Does everybody get it? That's how you test things. You let it go. The word says one plants, one waters, and God gives the increase. One plants, one waters, God gives the increase. You plant the seed. Let it go. You test. It doesn't mean do. It means just test. You test it. If it's not, if it doesn't happen, then let it go. Does everybody get it? Now when God has told you something and told you to pursue something, just like waiting on something, you're waiting on it. You're persisting in waiting, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're enduring in the waiting process. Because you know that it's going to come to pass. Hallelujah. So yes, you're to test things. And know that He is faithful to what? Do it. Just think about this. Jesus told His disciples in Acts 1:4, He said, do not go anywhere, but stay in Jerusalem. For the promise of the Father is for you. So waiting brings the promises, doesn't it? Can you imagine if they all chose to go their own way? Missed the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the promise of the Father? Even Mary, the mother of Jesus? I mean, they had to wait there 10 days, didn't they? They waited 10 days because the Lord said, wait for the promise. And it came to manifestation. And look what happened. Still going on, isn't it? Glory to God. Go to Habakkuk chapter 2. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Come on now. Habakkuk chapter 2. Hallelujah. In verse, I'll start with 2. Let's start with verse 1. Okay. I will stand my watch. Glory to God. Sounds like he's waiting on the Lord. And set myself on the rampart. And watch to see what he will what say to me. And what I will answer when I am corrected. That's fellowship. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. In other words, what you're waiting on is set for an appointed time. That's your vision. But at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry. It's going to come. So we must wait on the Lord. Amen? We must wait on the Lord. Go to Romans 8. Glory to God. Romans chapter 8. Glory to God. Waiting, I'm waiting on the Lord. Not waiting on a man, you're waiting on the Lord. Romans 8 and verse 12. Is everybody there? Let's read it. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Does everybody get it? But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified Him. So your spirit is going to give you witness. Do you understand that? When you're waiting on the Lord. You're going to get a witness in your spirit of when to go. You're going to get a witness in your spirit of when it's coming. You'll know. You get a witness in your spirit. All of a sudden, you'll just know. You'll be looking for it in such a great way, you know that it's coming. And you'll get a witness in your spirit. Amen? Go to 1 Galatians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. Hey, there's a 1 Galatians. Just, this is not a second one. Come on now. Where y'all been? 1 Corinthians. Hey, just because we don't have the second Galatians one, that doesn't mean there isn't one somewhere. Come on, Paul wrote a lot of letters. We just have a few of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Glory to God. And verse 9. Let's read it together. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him and wait on Him. Hallelujah. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So you got to be in the Spirit. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but by which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So we must have the discernment to begin to compare. This is where you'll know whether you're waiting on God or God is waiting on you. Amen? You must have the discernment to be able to compare the spiritual things. You'll know. Why? You'll get a witness in your spirit. You'll know. Sometimes you won't get an answer. You'll know. He'll say, I'm waiting on you. You'll know. You'll know. And you'll know when you miss God. And you'll know when you've gone ahead of Him. And you'll know when you're walking with Him. Amen. So we know that Spirit searches all things, comparing. Amen? Praise God. Let's close with Isaiah 40. Waiting on the Lord. I'm waiting on the Lord. So what do you do while you're waiting on the Lord? You pray in the Holy Ghost. You keep ministering to the Lord. You keep ministering in the kingdom. You keep serving the kingdom while you're waiting to come to pass. Because see, sometimes it can't come to pass until He positions you in a place where it can come to pass. Sometimes He's waiting for you to start getting up and serving in the kingdom and ministering to Him so He can move you and put you in the place where it's going to come to pass, which you've been waiting on. Amen? Isaiah 40 and verse 31. Can we read this together? Let's start at verse 28. Hallelujah. Let's read it together. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with eagles' wings, with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Those who what? Wait on the Lord. Praise God. Put your eagles' wings on and get cruising. Father, we thank You for Your word. And Lord, we ask for Your forgiveness for not waiting on You, for moving ahead of You, and lagging behind. Lord, we ask for Your forgiveness for being a dragon at a kingdom and having the kingdom have to carry us instead of us expanding the kingdom. And Lord, we surrender all to You as we repent for these deeds that we've done, and we ask that You'll position us, kill us, fill us, and empower us, and bring us encouragement to wait on You, to bring glory to Your name and expand Your kingdom. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen,
amen and hallelujah.